The presidential election in November was nothing short of historical. Americans went to the polls and let their voices be heard, overwhelmingly electing Donald Trump as our 47th president. You can hear his inauguration on AFR beginning at 11 a.m. Central, January 20th. So if you're not able to watch, you don't have to miss out. And make sure you tell your friends and family so they don't miss the live feed of Donald Trump's inauguration ceremony, January 20th, starting at 11 a.m. Central on AFR.
Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Thank you for listening. This is Thursday, January the 16th, 2025. Just reminding you people that spring will be here before we know it, and this nasty cold weather will be behind us. Tim Wildman here with Ed, Ed's not here today. Fred's here.
Fred's here.
How you doing, Brother Fred?
I'm doing great.
Fred Jackson, Wesley Wildman. Good morning, Wesley.
Good morning.
Hey, Chris Woodward.
63 days until spring.
The official spring,
yes,
right?
When you and I will enjoy one of our favorite seasons.
Who determined that?
The internet.
Well, this is
very specific.
The internet.
Yes, sir.
I'm about to start talking about something.
I'm not a fan of the winter.
I think it has something to do
with... Well, we're going to put a timer on. You got 2 minutes. Go.
Well, it doesn't have something to do with the solstice?
Yes.
Yes.
I'm talking about the official
marking
of the season, spring, summer, fall, and winter.
Yes. So they're not promising that day is going to be that much more warmer.
No, it just depends on where you live and...
Yep. And knowing that we're in Mississippi, we'll probably have an ice storm and a tornado in the same day.
Right. Yeah.
And whatever Canada decides to send our way.
Yes.
I'll tell you what, this afternoon here in Mississippi in January, we're going to take advantage of the beautiful weather and do a little baseball.
Mm-hmm. It's 63.
Oh,
your baseball team's going to practice?
Yeah,
today?
We'll do a little practice this afternoon because we won't be able to do it again for another 2 weeks.
Yeah. Right. I know.
But I'm not complaining. I'm actually saying this is a good thing because – not many other places in the country in January. Yeah,
you get to practice baseball?
Baseball outside.
Yeah.
That's right.
It's going to be a nice couple of days. And then guess what, ladies and gentlemen? For most of the country, it's going to be bottoms out. I don't know what that
last
means.
Last week, part two.
The bottom's going to drop out of any kind of warm weather because it's going to be brutally cold. In fact, in our nation's capital, where the inauguration will take place of President Donald J. Trump, and Vice President
J.D. Vance,
it's going to be extremely cold, right?
And you can't wait to get there.
We're going.
But you know what, though? I thought about this since you mentioned yesterday about, you know, be colder than you like there. It's not going to be much warmer here.
I know that, but...
You're still thinking about your house.
I stay inside.
Okay.
Let me just tell you what. By the way, Fred, tell us what we're going to be doing on Monday here on AFR.
It's an exciting day here at American Family Radio. It's Inauguration Day, of course, as everybody is aware. But for the first time, American Family Radio will be covering the inauguration live. We have settled a deal with Fox News. We're a partner with Fox News for our news coverage. And so at 11 o'clock Central Time, on Monday morning, when Today's Issues is normally on, we'll be introducing live coverage as Donald Trump is sworn in as the 47th president of the United States.
What time will that – so of course, we're Central Time here. You're saying that in Washington, D.C., obviously, is Eastern time zone.
Yes.
So does the inauguration start at 11 Eastern time?
11 Central Time.
Okay, so we'll be broadcasting an hour. Are we going to do a simulcast from Fox News?
That is correct. Okay. We'll be giving you all the highlights of all the ceremonies, the actual swearing in.
No swearing, though.
No swearing.
Yeah.
Well,
swearing in.
Well,
still Christian radio.
Donald Trump has a speech.
So
He's not going to do that there.
No, I think he'll have a
He'll be
day.
Classy.
Yes.
But anyway, it will be an exciting day. Mm-hmm. As the peaceful transition of power takes place in our nation's capital, and President Trump will be He'll be in office on Monday afternoon with J.D. Vance serving as his VP.
And a pen.
Huh?
He'll have a pen, too.
He'll have a – how do you mean that?
For executive orders. Pen. Big, beautiful pen.
Oh. Oh, yeah, it'll be executive order week.
Wow.
That's what all presidents do now. Sure. They'll just issue a lot of executive orders. So, anyway, it's going to be an exciting day. And a lot of Americans will make their way to Washington, D.C. I was just saying – one more word about the weather, and maybe this will be the last – but what I'm saying here is for those who do brave it and stand out for those two or three hours or whatever it's going to be there in Washington, it's going to be high of 27 on Monday. Now, the sun will be out
for
what it's worth, mm-hmm. and then the winds will be 10 to 20 miles an hour whipping down the mall there in Washington, D.C. But, hey, maybe the excitement will overcome the temperatures there for people who want to go to D.C.
Fred, just a little advice from the director of the news department here at AFA. If you're calling Dad or expected to call Dad, president of the ministry of AFA, for an interview,
yes,
while he's at the inauguration, expect him to only talk about the weather. So yeah. Just don't waste your time.
I'll try not to. I don't know what happened.
And we'll try to overcome the teeth shattering, at that point.
I don't know. I used to not do this, but I'm 61 now. You start trending toward talking about the weather. When you get post 55, you start looking at it.
Well, you only talk about it when it gets cold.
I know. All right. So anyway, it's going to be old man winter is going to hang around for a while here.
Yes.
In January for most of the country. And
in your honor, it'll still be cold when I get back here.
Yeah. I know. But springtime will be here soon, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Hey, you know, it's one of those things you can't appreciate one without the other. You don't have really cold weather, you just don't appreciate the warm weather. I try to tell myself that. All right. So we hope everybody will join us on Monday for live coverage of the inauguration. And as Fred said, we have worked out a deal with Fox News to be able to simulcast their coverage. So it won't be us. You'll be hearing Fox News reporters, right?
That's right. Well, and for the most part,
you're going to hear the commercials.
No, you're going to hear the ceremony.
Just a ceremony.
Yes.
Okay, not the commentary.
No, sir. No, sir. Now, if they have microphone problems, you may hear.
So what?
Live radio.
So just to clarify, now this starts at 10 o'clock. Our show starts at 10 o'clock, so we're going to be live with our show with Fred, Ned, and mm-hmm. company. Okay, I got you. And then at 11 o'clock Central Time, we'll switch over.
Correct.
I got you. Just to hear the ceremony.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
Yep.
Got you. Well, I saw where Michelle Obama is not going to be there.
Yes, and that's odd. I say odd because she was also missing from Jimmy Carter's funeral. So there have been two big public appearances that she's not making.
Why is she not there?
We aren't sure. Some people are saying that she's part of the Democrats. Yeah. Hey, Michelle. Some people are saying she's part of that Democrat group where they're not going to the inauguration. But I think it's odd. Why would you not go to Jimmy Carter's funeral when all the other first ladies were there, including Hillary?
I don't know.
Melania was there.
That's a good question. I don't know. I've never heard of a. Now, President Trump did not go to Joe Biden's inauguration. So that's not unprecedented.
That feels like 15 years ago.
I know, right? So Trump didn't go to. Of course, they were having. That's post January 6th. It was a lot of problems and tension in the air.
There was. Mm-hmm.
That was kind of what led to that particular issue. But we'll see. President Barack Obama scheduled to be there.
Yeah, they appeared to be very chummy at Jimmy Carter's funeral.
Which may be why she's not going.
That's true. It could be.
Yes.
Oh, you mean Obama and Trump?
They sat next to one another and
share some laughs. Mm-hmm. Talk.
It's a boys' club, the presidency. Until we have a woman, it is a boys' club.
Yeah. All right. What's your first story, Chris?
All right. So Trump is going to enter office Monday, and one of the people that Trump wants to be in his cabinet is former Florida Senator Marco Rubio. Trump nominated Mr. Rubio for Secretary of State. He had his confirmation hearing today or yesterday. It looks like he's probably going to be nominated because Rubio is, he left the Senate, that left a vacancy for the U.S. Senate seat. And after weeks of speculation and prediction from people, including our guest on this here program, Ron DeSantis finally made it official today and announced his pick to replace Marco Rubio in the U.S. Senate. I have the announcement here, clip 15.
I wanted somebody with a demonstrated record of delivering results on those important issues. Talk is cheap. We need people that have demonstrated fidelity to these principles with their actions. So that is why today I'm proud to announce that I am selecting our Attorney General, Ashley Moody, to serve as our next U.S. Senator.
Ashley Moody is the current Attorney General of the state of Florida.
Yes, and people have seen her a lot on Fox. If you've watched Fox at any point in the last 2 years, you've seen her on a show.
So, as you say, just the dominoes here. Marco Rubio was selected by Senator Marco Rubio was selected by President Trump to be Secretary of State. A massive job. Mm-hmm. I mean, one of the top jobs in any administration. So that left the vacancy. So it's up to the governor of said state, in this case Florida, to select a replacement until a election to fulfill the term that Rubio had until the next election cycle. Is that true?
That's true.
Okay, so what has she got, like 2 years left?
She's got 2 years left.
But she's been elected.
That's right.
She's won statewide elections. What age is she? She looks...
I'd say she's 50-something. I'll look it up.
She's not 50.
No, I think she's younger than that.
You shouldn't say stuff like that, Chris.
Well, I look
about
like
a woman.
I'm old
you should not guess her age.
49.
And go over. Huh? See, Chris.
Vindication.
Okay. Oh, she's 49?
Yes.
Well, she's a young-looking 49.
Man, she looks 39.
I look 75 because I've had gray hairs since 15. So.
I don't mean that in a negative way, Chris.
You were affirming what he said.
You're a seasoned...
It's news. That's why my hair is
white. If Ron DeSantis, the governor of Florida, selects you to replace somebody, she's going to be a rock-solid conservative.
Oh, she is all the way. What she's been doing as attorney general, all the conservative causes. I would say she and Ron DeSantis are clones.
Okay.
When it comes to political values.
Well, I like to hear that because Governor DeSantis is a rock star.
Yeah, he is.
In terms of what he's done in the state of Florida.
Yes.
And I'll just say this. This leads us to the next story because with the appointment of Ashley Moody, the current attorney general of the state of Florida, to be the next U.S. senator from Florida, Ashley Moody was preceded in that office by the next person we're going to talk about, right?
Pam Bondi.
Pam Bondi, who she had an 8-year stint as attorney general in the state of Florida. So she'll be serving as President Trump's attorney general.
Yes.
Right?
So. She was attorney general for years, including a time that Barack Obama was president. She preceded the Trump presidency as a Florida attorney general.
You're Republican coming out of Florida, and you're going to Trump's administration. Got to be a good thing.
Yes.
With the leadership of Ron DeSantis, that is.
Just stop and think about the Florida representation. Donald Trump from Florida now.
By way of Queens.
By way of Queens.
In Manhattan.
Yes.
Detour.
Yeah. You have Marco Rubio, a Floridian, Secretary of State. The Attorney General of the country is going to be Pam Bondi from Florida.
Yeah.
And now the new senator, obviously from Florida, is Ashley Moody. You talk about Democrats' heads spinning.
Yeah.
All of these traditional conservative value people.
I had wondered aloud, Governor DeSantis could have appointed himself. And I wondered if he would do that. People don't like people doing that, but still, he only has 2 years left in Tallahassee as governor of the state, and then he would have served two consecutive terms. He's out as governor.
Mm-hmm.
So what does the future hold for Governor DeSantis in politics and government if that's the road he chooses to go down? So I thought he might want to be in the Senate. If you want to be in the Senate, what a great golden opportunity to be in the Senate, and that is you leave the governor's mansion and you go to Washington to be the senator from Florida, having appointed yourself. But he chose not to do that. And I think this choice, Governor DeSantis' choice, kind of means, it seems to me, he's not interested in being in the Senate. Does that say that?
And so that leads to other speculation.
Oh, okay. Other speculation.
Would he like to be on the
When top? Are we going to get to Pam Bondi's fireworks yesterday?
Oh, we've got some.
I'm ready to play those.
All right.
Did you hear these, Weston?
I did.
Yes.
All right. So we have several.
Let me tell people to buckle up right here. Because Pam Bondi, who we just talking about, who appeared before the Senate yesterday for her hearings, she was loaded for bear, so to speak.
Yes.
And there were a couple of bears from
California.
Hawaii, California.
They were, anyway.
The funny thing is, there is a bear.
That's the Golden Bear State, right? Yeah. So a couple of bears from California Democrats were ready to try to make her look bad.
Yes.
And she said, to use a sports term, bring it. And so what do we got? What are we going to listen to here?
Well, we have several clips at our disposal, but let's
you can play as many as you want.
Let's do this one. Let's begin with a montage, and if we want, we can play some other things in longer. Cuts.
Do we have music in the background?
We do not.
Like Eye of the Tiger, anything like that?
Not yet, but we'll work on that for you. Let's do this. It's a montage. Fox actually aired this earlier today. Clip 4.
Are you aware of any factual basis to investigate Liz Cheney? Yes or no?
Senator, that's a hypothetical, and I'm not going to answer
no,
that question.
No, it's not hypothetical.
I will never play politics. You're trying to engage me in a gotcha. I won't play politics with any ongoing investigation.
So let me ask you.
You say the right things, that you're going to be the people's lawyer. That's what you have to say to be here.
You said that I have to sit up here and say these things. No, I don't. I sit up here and speak the truth.
That's just one.
What else we got?
So another one that has gotten a lot of people talking on X, for example, was her exchange with Hawaii Senator Mazie Hirono, who
I haven't heard this one, I don't think.
He was, in my opinion, by far the most obnoxious questionnaire. How do you say it? Questionnaire?
Questionnaire.
You can say whatever you want. We make up words.
We give a hash right to you, yeah.
More gooder.
Yeah, he, more gooder. He was awful.
Okay, is that who we're about to hear?
Well, let's do the Hirono situation here.
Is he the Hawaiian though? Democrat you're talking about?
I believe that's
from California.
Yeah. We have two. We have Mazie Hirono and we have Senator Padilla, who's one of the senators from California.
Who are we going to hear first?
Let's do Hirono, clip 5.
If President-elect Trump suggests or hints that you as Attorney General should investigate one of his perceived political enemies, would you do so?
Senator Hirono, I wish you had met with me. Had you met with me, we could have discussed many things and gotten to know
you. I am listening to you now. Could you respond to the question?
Yeah, you were the only one who refused to meet with me, Senator. But what we would have discussed is that it is the job of the Attorney General to
follow the law. I'm very happy to listen to your responses under oath, Ms. Bondi. So I think it's really important to us that the Attorney General be independent of the White House. And you have a president-elect who considers the AG's office his law firm.
Sure, I certainly have not heard the president say that. But what I will tell you is 2/3 of Americans have lost faith in the Department of Justice. And it's statements like that, I believe, make people continue to lose faith. If I am confirmed as Attorney General, it will be my job
to not only keep America safe.
Right. Yes, she did. Yes, she did respond.
Right. She didn't
respond
the way,
in
a way she
would. Pam Bondi was saying, you didn't meet with me. We could have talked about this privately or at least in a meeting prior to. And she could have asked her the same thing. So anyway, what's next?
All right. So next is.
I want to have the real fireworks when she gets into it with Schiff. And you got that?
Well, I've got one of these senators here. It's Pam Bondi versus California Democrat Senator Alex Padilla. Clip 7.
After I gave an opportunity to study overnight. So can you tell me and this committee what the citizenship clause of the 14th Amendment says?
Senator, I'm here to answer your questions. I'm not here to do your homework and study for you. If I am confirmed as
Attorney
General.
You're the one asking for a confirmation vote, ma'am.
Hey, you cut me off. Can I please finish?
What does the 14th Amendment say?
Senator, the 14th Amendment we all know addresses birthright citizenship. I've been a state prosecutor. I've been a state AG. I look forward to, even given your remarks today, working with you and the people of California if I am confirmed as the 87th Attorney General of the United States of America. I didn't take your homework assignment. I'm sorry. I was preparing for today.
And we don't have an actual – we don't have a longer cut of her versus Schiff. He did appear in that montage that I played first.
Oh, you got to – Now, that's disappointing.
I can play. I'm sorry. I can't give you some reaction.
Worse than the popcorn machine not working.
Well, Schiff. Well, she dunked on Schiff.
Yeah. Well, she just dunked on that gentleman. What was his name again?
Alex Padilla.
Okay, so the Padilla is a clip that I saw, the longer version of it. That guy's awful. He is just an awful person. There's nothing redeemable about the way he approached that. He asked a question when she opened her mouth. He said, okay, you're not going to answer.
He cut her off.
It was one after. Like I just did you.
Yeah.
I mean, and he did that for 5 minutes. And so it was ridiculous.
Right. She's going to be confirmed.
Yeah. She'll be confirmed.
She will.
It certainly looks like it. And I would say the same thing about Pete Hegseth. A lot of people were really high on his exchanges and remarks a couple of days ago.
She also told that gentleman. Forgive me, what was his name again?
Alex Padilla.
Alex Padilla's. He said, at the end of that one, he said, well, I'm really, she said, he said, tomorrow will be day two. We'll revisit this. She said, I hope you do.
Yeah, it does continue today. They're bringing in witnesses.
She said, I hope
testify
you do.
Witnesses for what?
Well, it's one of those like.
You mean for and against?
Yeah. Think Brett Kavanaugh, where they brought in people for and against him few years ago.
Brett Kavanaugh, they went back to his junior year in high school.
Yes, and he had a calendar for some
about
reason.
Some girl who said, some girl said she doesn't remember where she was, but he sexually assaulted her.
Yeah. That, too, feels like 15 years
and then
ago.
That turned out to be completely and utterly false.
Yeah, it's fabricated.
I do have some more clips we could play. These are Republicans weighing in on this situation.
Play one more. One more.
It's Senator Mike Lee on the grilling of Pam Bondi. Clip 8.
As they were peppering her with questions about the weaponization of the Department of Justice, I cannot fathom a universe in which they could say that without feeling some guilt and some shame along with that. Meanwhile, you've got Adam Schiff going after her. His state is literally like... looks like a post-apocalyptic hellscape, because it is, and he's worried about Liz Cheney.
Mike Lee, the senator from Utah.
Why did he bring up Liz? Why are they asking about Liz Cheney? What's the deal there?
Well, Trump has issues with Liz Cheney because she was part of the J6 committee, and they were wondering whether or not Trump and Bondi might work together to go after people like Liz Cheney.
Well, no, they won't. No. They shouldn't. Liz Cheney... because that is an abuse of power to target somebody, and President Trump knows that better than anybody. So I don't think – and Pam Bondi's never struck me as the type of person that would do anything like that anyway.
Nope.
When I've seen her interviewed and heard her talk. So that's not going to happen. Liz Cheney, okay, she lost her seat in Wyoming. That was her punishment.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, the citizens of her own state said, you know what, we're going to remove you because you don't represent us and our values anymore.
Right. Yeah.
And I don't know Liz Cheney personally. She was a very a real conservative.
Fiscal.
She wasn't the other either. I mean, I thought she had a pretty good voting record across the board. She would be.
About Pam? Who are you talking about?
No, I'm talking about Liz Cheney.
Oh, gotcha.
She was a conservative. She was considered a very conservative congresswoman from, and then she got caught up in this January 6th committee that went on and on and on and on and on and on. If she would have wanted to say something like, she should have known better than to get hooked up with Nancy Pelosi, all right? That's her first mistake. If she would have wanted issued something to say, I find January 6th, what happened to be appalling, and what President Trump said and did there, I find it objectionable, and as a Republican, I disagree with it. And if she wanted to do something like that, I think everybody would have understood. But when she joined up with Nancy Pelosi in that endless committee charade, dog and pony show, and I apologize to the dog and ponies. then that's when she started getting into to on a bad path.
Yeah.
In my view. Now I will say we'll do that one. I will say this, but President Trump has nothing for her, but he had her beat. He helped beat her in her election, and that was her punishment. We'll be back.
If we learned anything from this election, It's how important it is for us to fight, fight, fight. We also learned how desperately the left wants to fight to take babies' lives, which is why every day Preborn Ministries fights for the babies. Preborn's network of clinics are positioned in the highest abortion areas, fighting for mothers deciding between the life and death of their child. Preborn welcomes these women with God's love and offers them a free ultrasound to introduce their precious baby and hear the beautiful heartbeat. This amazing encounter gives her baby a fighting chance, and the majority of the time, she will choose life. Would you join Preborn in the fight for life? One ultrasound is just $28, and $140 will sponsor five ultrasounds. And now, through a match, your gift is doubled. Babies are worth fighting for. To donate, dial #250 on your cell and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby, or visit preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR. All gifts are tax deductible, and Preborn has a 4-star charity rating. Fight, fight, fight for the babies.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@AFR.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at AFR.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Tim, Fred, Wesley, and Chris. And just saw where Bob Uecker passed away. You remember him, Fred?
No, I don't.
Wesley and Chris wouldn't remember that name. You don't remember that name?
Mm-mm.
Bob Uecker, he was a baseball guy.
Okay.
And he was known for his funny quips. Anyway, he's died at 91 years old.
Wow.
He had a Miller Lite beer commercial that is iconic, where he talks about sitting on the front row. You remember that? You guys don't remember that? Okay, well, anyway, I know Wesley and Chris wouldn't remember that. That's back in the 70s.
Well, I recognize his face.
Bob Uecker, yeah. Well, he was in some movies, too. Yeah. Kind of a baseball. He was a broadcast guy for the Milwaukee Brewers for a long time.
Well, yeah, and he was also on Rookie of the Year.
That's what I mean. He was on some movies you would be familiar with, right?
That's right, yeah.
Bob Uecker, he was 90 years old. He was a baseball commentator. I think he did play in the big leagues, and he was also a comic.
I just remember
front row.
It wasn't Rookie of the Year. It was Major League. Mm-hmm. That's the one he was on.
Major League?
Yeah.
All right, so you're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Well, one of the ministries that many of you support is Preborn, and it's Pro-Life Month, right, across the country. Many churches are participating in pro-life activities, and we at American Family Association, American Family Radio, will never, ever quit standing up for unborn babies.
Amen.
Because they're created in the image of God, and it's immoral.
We're compelled as Christians to do something about it.
And we do. That's right. That's right. We're compelled as Christians to stand for the defenseless. And who more defenseless than the unborn baby in the mother's womb who are at risk of abortion? One of the gentlemen that we work with closely in the organization with Preborn, who's the chair and founder of Preborn, is Dan Steiner. And Dan joins us now. Good morning, Dan.
Hey, Tim. God bless you.
Thank you. Are you home in Indiana today?
No, we've got an event down here with Glenn Beck in Florida this weekend, thankfully.
Uh-huh. Well, yeah, that's kind of convenient, isn't it, Dan? You're in Florida in January. Okay, then. You're down there with who?
Glenn Beck.
Yeah, why didn't Glenn go to Minnesota in January?
I don't know. It's probably for the same reason we didn't hold the thing down there up there.
If you want to really show your commitment to the cause. No, I'm just teasing.
Yeah.
I'm just teasing. Well, Dan, talk about, by the way, what year did you start Preborn?
It was actually started in 2007, chartered, and not too shortly after that, Tim, AFR and us got together, and we've saved a bunch of babies since.
How many?
About 331,000. small city.
I want folks to think about that, and this is not to pat ourselves on the back, because but it is to pat our listeners on the back who have supported the work of Preborn.
Absolutely.
For those who don't know, real quickly, maybe you're new to American Family Radio, Dan is the founder of Preborn. You might say, well, what is that? They're an organization that, it's a nonprofit. They pay for, they use the money that is donated to them, like from you, our listeners, to pay for ultrasounds for women who are considering abortion.
Mm-hmm.
And once the women see, oftentimes they're girls, you know, in their teens, and then women in their 20s. That's how I distinguish between girl and women. But anyway, they are convinced after seeing the screen, hey, I can't. This is a moving human being. I can't, with a beating heart, I can't have it killed. There's another option. I'll give it up for adoption or keep it. Or whatever, but I can't have it chopped up into pieces.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse the vulgarity of my description, but that's what it is we're talking about here, that happens to a baby during an abortion. So Dan, God laid it on it, Dan Steiner's heart to do something, to start something, and so here we are, some whatever
as
it is.
As we chip away at the 17 legislative side
later,
of it.
This, what now?
As we chip away at the legislative side of it, this is something that outside of politics,
you don't have to have there's no law
Mm-mm.
that you have to pass to do what Dan does with Preborn,
right,
and what we encourage you to support. And as Dan said, since 2007, over 330,000, is that what you said?
Yes, sir.
Babies have been saved because the women saw the ultrasound that many of our listeners helped pay for. So, did I basically get it right there in a minute and a half or 2 minutes?
Yeah, that's really it. What we've done together is save a small city, and, you know, that ultrasound doubles the likelihood that she'll choose life. She's under pressure by, you know, a lot of times it's the mother of the pregnant girl or woman, you know, wanting to abort her grandchild incredulously, and, you know, another culprit is the boyfriend or husband pushing her, but when she sees that baby and hears that heartbeat, the heartbeat is even more powerful than the picture, because blobs of tissue and masses of cells don't have heartbeats, and so that really changes her mind. And then we come beside her with maternity clothes and cribs and car seats and doctor visits, everything for free. And that $28 donation that so many AFR listeners have made not just doesn't sponsor the ultrasound alone. It sponsors all the help for 2 years afterwards. Even
how do you do that for $28?
It's by the grace of God is what it is, and a lot of donations from a lot of people.
Okay, I want to ask you real quickly, Dan, too. How does this physically happen? I mean, by that, I mean, how do they find out about Preborn, the pregnant girls?
That's really the challenge these days, particularly, Tim, as 65% of all abortions are procured on the Internet, chemical, digital. You know, they find out where to get an abortion pill, and it's delivered to their mailbox. Even in pro-life states like Mississippi or Texas, they get it on the Internet from a foreign website or an out-state website. It's mailed to the mailbox. Through hours of bloody trauma, they deliver their baby on their bathroom floor or in their toilet.
Wow.
That's 65% of them. And to that, Preborn has a very sophisticated technological platform where we reach these girls on the Internet before the abortionist does, have them call our call center, talk to a nurse, schedule an appointment at one of our centers then to get that ultrasound. So a big part of what we do before the ultrasound is find her searching for these abortions and schedule her into our clinic.
So $28 will buy one ultrasound.
Yep, five for 140. It's all 100% of the money. It's donor designated funds goes to our clinics all across the country.
Okay.
And
if they want to make a $28 or $100 or whatever donation, what do they need to do?
Yep, they just go to AFR.net or preborn.com, or they can dial the AFR phone number, which is 877-616-2396, 877-616-2396. It's tax deductible.
And we'll send a picture of a baby whose life was saved and a story like the one that they sponsored. Put on the fridge and pray for the baby.
What's the phone number again?
877-616-2396.
Okay, Dan, thanks so much for being on with us. God bless you. Thank you for listening to the Lord in 2007. And listen, and look what's happened since. And we will continue to partner with you.
Thank you, Tim. Appreciate it so much.
Okay, that's Dan Steiner. He's the founder and CEO. I want to tell folks, if you want to give the $28, or what's double that? 56? If you want to buy two, it's $56, right?
And for five, $140.
Okay, so you just need to go to AFR.net. You can give that way, right, Wesley?
Yep, that's what I was going to recommend, AFR.net. Okay. The reason I'd give, if you're driving and you can't call, just remember AFR.net because it's right there at the top. It's a give button, and it's also got any additional information or questions that from the interview or something that you may have about how this money's being used and that kind of
effect. Okay, AFR.net, that's the easiest way. Mm-hmm. But also the phone number, I have it. Do you have it?
Yeah, I got what it right here. 877-877.
Start over. You gave it eight twice. Go ahead.
877-616-2396.
That's right.
877-616-2396.
Yeah, 877-616-2396. If you want to tell them, hey, I heard Dan being interviewed on American Family Radio, and I want to make a donation. And rest assured, folks, they've been around since 2007 and highly credible organization, or we wouldn't work with them.
You know, stop and think about it for a moment. You know, $28, and you're saving the life of a human being for 28 for 28 bucks.
Yeah. Chris, you said your Sunday school class.
It's not my Sunday school class. Where I go to church, there is a Sunday school class, and a family named the Saps. They bring in coffee. They make some baked goods. They sell those to congregants at the church, and through those sales, they donate that money to Preborn.
Oh, amen.
And, yeah, what a great idea.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I would highly encourage other churches to do something similar to that.
Yeah. All right, you're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. I'm Tim with Fred, Wesley, and Chris. We hope you're having a great day, and thank you for listening to AFR. And we get lots of nice emails, and I got a handwritten note this morning, two notes this morning, about how AFR is impacting people's lives.
Mm-hmm.
Got a really nice letter from a 93-year-old listener in Texas.
Really?
Yes. Said she loves listening to AFR and what an impact we've had on her. And then we got another letter from that's a handwritten letter. A handwritten letter that J.J. Jasper read at devotion this morning from a listener in Mississippi who I think she was going to have an abortion.
She had an abortion.
No, that's what it was. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
She had an abortion as a teenager, I believe.
Yeah.
And it had plagued her whole life. She was, you know, up in her adulthood years, 40s or whatever. And she had been felt the guilt of and the shame and carried that with her whole, you know, from decades. And she heard AFR, and she heard us talking about where you can call to get counseling on forgiveness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that Jesus Christ can forgive you of any sin and set you on a new path.
Uh-huh.
And she wanted us to, it was a handwritten note. Maybe we can read it sometime. Uh-huh. You know, we haven't got permission from her to give her name, nor would we want to do that. But, I mean, it was just the power. She said that she heard us talking about that, and that led her to call.
Yeah, I think she heard the testimony of another woman who in a similar situation.
Yes, yes.
She had an abortion. Overwhelming guilt over it. And in the course of that interview, there was, listening to a promotion for an agency that helps young women who are dealing with the guilt of that.
Yeah, well, you know how many women who are now in their 50s, 60s, even 70s who had abortions back in the 70s and 80s who at that time really didn't even know what they were doing? You know, I mean, they didn't. Right. They didn't know. They were told it was a blob of tissue. It's not a human being. All these things.
No heartbeat.
This is before ultrasounds or anything that you would could use to for them to see it before we had preborn, for example.
Right.
And then, so then they came to realize over the years, as the science became available for us to look inside the womb, hey, what I did was terrible. What I participated in was sinful. And then they've gotten counseling or prayed to the Lord Jesus Christ for forgiveness of their sin, which is what he promises he will do if you ask for it and you repent. Jesus Christ will forgive you. That's what Pete Hegseth, that was so powerful about his testimony the other day.
He didn't make excuses. He took responsibility.
Had nothing to do with abortion.
Sure.
But he was talking about living a life of sin and being forgiven by Christ.
On this same discussion, I also had a handwritten note and a picture on my desk in which I have given this story to The Stand, our print magazine, to consider as a story. And one of our supporters, mom, in the 30s, was raped.
In the 1930s?
1930s. She was raped. And this woman that was raped was encouraged by people around her to get an abortion.
Even then, huh? Wow, okay.
Yeah. And, or the 40s. I've got the letter on my desk. Or I've given it to The Stand. And she was encouraged to get an abortion. She elected not to. And the baby that she gave birth to was the person that was writing the letter to us, who listens to us, who financially supports us, and she's in her 70s with 18 grandchildren.
Oh my. Wow, that would be an awesome story.
She's probably listening right now. She listens all the time.
Right.
But she was a product of rape, right. And her mom chose to keep her.
Yeah.
Well, 'cause it was the right thing to do.
You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. If you want to send us an email, go to comments@afr.net. 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 Again, thank you for listening to American Family Radio. Tim, Fred, Wesley, and Chris. Joining us now is our good friend Jan Markell. Jan is host of Understanding the Times Radio, a very popular program here on AFR. Heard Saturdays at 1 o'clock Central Time and noon Central Time each week on Sundays on American Family Radio. And Jan and her team there, they cover current events, Bible prophecy, what's going on in with respect to Israel. And Jan joins us now. Good morning, Jan.
Good morning, Tim. Thank you for having me.
You know what we're going to ask you, so go ahead and answer it.
Yeah.
It's what if you were open to go over there and open the door, Jan. We joke with Jan. Jan lives in Minnesota, and Minnesota can be beautiful many months of the year, but then winter hits, and hits in late July,
that's exactly right. The high is three below zero on Sunday now coming up.
Three below zero is the high
on Sunday. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my.
Yeah.
You don't want to come ice fishing up here.
Well, I was talking with a friend of mine the other day. He said talking about Michigan. He said, you know, we were both golfers, and he said, you know, I've been to Michigan, and it's beautiful in the summer to go up there. He said they have some great golf courses just on the lake, and he said the problem is they're only open like 5 months a year.
because of the
weather conditions. Well, anyway, Jan, what do you think of we've been reporting on what's happening in Israel? Of course, it's international news that there's a potential deal between Hamas and the Israeli government to have a ceasefire. And what are your thoughts on what's happening there today?
Well, this is just a paragraph out of Times of Israel. Quote, the prime minister instructed the negotiating team to stand firm on the agreed understandings and to outright reject Hamas's last-minute extortion attempt. So right now, you know, it's hit a bump in the road.
Right.
And the Israeli people at this point in time, and the Israeli people aren't people who give in to any kind of pressure, but at this point, they just want those hostages free. And one press release, my understanding is even some babies or children are going to be, and it's a miracle they're alive. And this is what matters at this point. But it's a very, very tense time, Tim. And we all know that Hamas has a demonic agenda to destroy God's land and people.
That's right. And for those who haven't heard, of course, yesterday it was breaking news that Israel and Hamas had reached an agreement, a ceasefire agreement. But the details had yet to be worked out, and they're still being worked through. And what's happened, as Jan is referring to, in the last 12 to 24 hours, as Israel says, that Hamas is trying to put more conditions on the original agreement there.
Yeah.
So, the fact that that Hamas has held these innocent citizens hostage, babies.
That's right.
Some of them children hostage for a year and a half now. I mean, it's a wonder any of them are still alive at all, quite frankly.
It is a miracle, exactly.
Listen, I of course, I don't live in Israel, but like you, Jan, I have friends there. I know that Benjamin Netanyahu, domestically in Israel, is sort of a controversial figure, but you know what? What politician isn't? He has his proponents and detractors, but I've always trusted him in what he said to America, and so I'm going with what he says here. Are you too?
Yeah. I believe Benjamin Netanyahu is a man for such a time as this for Israel. He's not perfect. No politician is.
Right.
But he's a little bit like Donald Trump. He truly loves his country, and he wants to do what's right. He's fallen mankind, like all of us, and therefore, you know, he's battling those elements. But he has taken Israel through some of her darkest times, of which we're going through now as we speak. My hope, gentlemen, and it would be a miracle, would be that those two little red-headed boys, the Bibas children, might even still be alive, because they're referring to babies that may be set free, and that what could only be the Bibas kids, which it's been assumed that they've been murdered, and maybe not. Maybe God's performed a miracle here, but the minute you see those little red-headed boys, your heart just breaks for that mom who's down there, too, in these tunnels or wherever they're being kept.
Yeah.
But you know what? You know, your audience can pray, Tim, and I think that's what we need to be doing.
Yes, you know, Fred here, Jen, way along, Benjamin Netanyahu has said this campaign ends, and he'll call it an end when Hamas cannot control Gaza anymore.
He said that?
Yeah, he said that
initially
in the campaign. He was going to continue to ensure Hamas can never do this kind of thing again. That seems to be the issue right now, because Hamas has no intention of giving up control of Gaza. This morning I heard President Trump's incoming national security advisor say that once Trump takes office on Monday, he will ensure that Hamas never controls Gaza again. So I think there's going to be a part two to this whole effort for a ceasefire. The part one we're hearing right now does not guarantee Hamas is out of there. Part two, it seems to be, when Trump takes control, Hamas never takes control of Gaza again.
Fred, that is exactly right. We have a historic day coming up on Monday, and I don't say that politically, but I say that from the standpoint that we're going to have a leader who is going to take charge and who is Israel's friend to the best he knows how. And he doesn't know the Bible all that well, but to the best he can, he's trying to be Israel's friend. And I think that that's the turning point in a lot of things coming up on Monday. Yes.
All right, Jan, thanks so much for being on with us. Do you know what you're going to be talking about this weekend on your show?
We're going to be talking a little bit about California. We're going to talk to Seth Gruber and a lot of current events. So, again, thanks for having us. We really appreciate it.
Okay, thank you, Jan. That's Jan Markell joining us from Minnesota. And be sure to tune in to her program on Saturday at 1 o'clock Central Time, Understanding the Times, and noon on Sunday Central Time right here on American Family Radio. Well, Fred, what's happening in Israel? Israel has to have the assurance that Hamas cannot rebuild so that they can attack Israel again militarily. By militarily, Hamas doesn't have a, quote, military per se, but I'm talking about as a terrorist organization. So Hamas attacked Israel, if we remember, in October 7th, 2023, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they murdered, butchered 11 to 1,200 Israelis on that fateful day. And Israel responded. And Israel responded overwhelming force and just blew up Gaza, okay? In the midst of that, there were, citizens of Gaza who were noncombatants who died. And that's terrible, but that happens in war, unfortunately and sadly. So you had people die, Israel had to do what they had to do, or else they were going to die.
Yes.
Okay. So they defended themselves, and what they're going to do now, Israel, with their war against Hezbollah, which is over, basically they destroyed Hezbollah in the north, and Hamas in Gaza, they have to dismantle them permanently so that they can never attack Israel again. That's what Israel is going to do.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And the world, many in the world condemn them for it because they say, look how many Palestinian, the Arabs are dying there in Gaza as a result of the bombardment of Israel. Well, again, there's no way to avoid innocent people dying in war when your ultimate objective is to stop any more attacks on your country.
And the responsibility for every death in Gaza lies with Hamas, not Israel.
They started it.
That's right.
We'll be back momentarily. Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.